It's a tremendous achus and a kavod gadol to come back. As many of you know, I spent a number of years here in MTA High School, then early admissions YU. Enjoyed it immensely. It's always a pleasure to come back to such a Malkum Torah, such a Malkum, a place that's filled, that's saturated with a thirst, a tzimon, for Torah, for Ruchnius, for Yiddishkeit. It's always a pleasure, especially in the context of a Sfarim sale. I don't know how many of you know, but I'm a very big Sfarim fan. We have a large base medrash, and if there's any time to speak about Sfarim, this is the time that's apropos more than any other. So the title for tonight is Loving Sfarim and Living Sfarim. What it means, you'll have to buckle up and enjoy the ride. A number of years ago, there was a sefer that came out to set the Sfarim Otsa Meforshei Talmud, a compilation of Myriad, Rishonim, Achronim, the classical, the medieval commentators on Shas, and some yeshivas, they labeled it, they branded it the Green Monster. Everything that you wanted is in there, all the Rishonim and all the Achronim. Unfortunately, not too many people are using it today, because a number of years ago, of course, they came out with the first Bar Ilan CDs, subsequently the Otzar HaChachma. Now you can get in excess of 44,000 Sfarim at your fingertips. What are you going to do with 44,000 Sfarim? You're going to have a good time. So they bought the first Bar Ilan CD to the Halig, Rebbe Lozer, Menachem Shach Zatzal, and they wanted to get a Haskama. It's a great idea. At your fingertips, instead of buying an incredible library, you can just go ahead and purchase one of these CDs, and you have thousand sundry Sfar and Mamish at your fingertips. So he looked at it, he held it, he said, this is a great idea. There's just one problem with the Bar Ilan CD. And he didn't mention the price. He says, there's one problem. You can't kiss a CD. You can kiss a sefer, you can hold a sefer in your hands, but you can't kiss it. Well, you never know. People today, they'll do anything. We have institutions for people like that. But Lemaisa, you can't kiss a CD. It's not the same. It's not the same experience. I was a rav a number of years ago in a hotel in Rimini, Italy for Pesach, and I had this discussion meeting up with a son-in-law of Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung Zatzal, the Rav of Montreal, someone who at the age of 14 years old, he went to be admitted into the yeshivas, Chochmei Lublin, the renowned yeshiva, founded by the Halig Rav Meir Shapiro from Lublin Zatzal. And in order to get into the yeshiva, you have to take a faher, you have to be tested on 200 blot, Gemara Rashi Tosfos Baal Peh. 200 folio pages of the Talmud, you have to memorize word for word, and he came in, here he is, but a mere fledgling of a lad, 14 years of age, and he comes into Rav Meir Shmuel, and he says, okay, Rav Pinchas, tell me which 200 blot are you going to say? He says, any 200 you want. He knew Shas word for word about that. And you would think someone who knew Shas word for word about that, someone had such a photographic memory, was there need to buy Sfarim? And he bought, and he bought. And he had a very nice collection. And his son-in-law told me that on his deathbed, when he was in the hospital, in his last moments, he couldn't move. And though he couldn't move, he told his son-in-law, please bring me a Gemara Maseches Brachos. And his son-in-law obliged. He bought him a Gemara. He says, what's my father-in-law going to do? He can't learn. He doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have the koch. What does he want a Gemara for? And he bought him the Gemara Brachas, and the doctor said it's going to get in the way of the IVs and all the lines and all the Mishigas. Don't stop it. No, my father-in-law wants a Gemara. You bring him a Gemara. And sure enough, they bought him the Gemara, and he held on to it. For dear life, he clung steadfast, tenaciously onto this Gemara. Then when the doctors needed to move it away because they had no choice but to adjust one of the IVs, they tried to remove it from his grasp, and they pushed it, could not do it. He didn't have strength to learn anymore, but to be machaviv, to cherish this dear sefer, Gemara Brachas. Here he is in his dying moments, his final moments on life, and he can't let go of the Gemara. He couldn't even open it up. But the doctors are trying to take it out of his grasp. No way, that wasn't happening. That's how much he said, my father-in-law loved Sfarim. Stories of Rosh Yeshivas, of Rabbanim Chashuvim, in their final days, when they knew that their end was in sight, their demise was near, they would go through their base medrash and they would take every single sefer off the shelf and just give it a neshika. To give it a kiss. And to say goodbye to each and every one of their Sfarim HaKadosh. Say goodbye to all your loved ones. That's what many Chachamim did. Hashivas HaSfarim. In the Sefer L'Shichno Sibrishu and Chelek Aleph, the Machaber, the author, mentions that the Tashbetz, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, he was so makbid on the Kovod and the Hashivas of his Sfarim, he would take his beard and he would actually wipe away the dust covering all of his Sfarim. And he was so makbid, so ever meticulous and finicky when it came to the utter cleanliness of each and every one of his Sfarim, that a Baskel came out of Shemayim and said, "V'schus, in the merit of your Kovod HaSfarim, your own Sfarim that you will pen, that you will publish one day, will never, ever wear out." And the Mechaber says that he was in the house of Chaim Kanevsky, who Yarshint, he inherited a sefer of the Tashbetz, over 500 years old from the days of the Rishonim. He inherited from the Chazon Ish, and he says it was in mint condition. The merits of being ever so careful and meticulous with the kovod, the hashivas of his svarim. In the same breath, he cites an amazing story that the stiper gaon, Rabbi Yaakov Yeshua Kanevsky Zatzal, anytime he reached into his bookcase to pull a sefer off the shelf, if he mistakenly took off the wrong sefer, he wouldn't just put it back right away. He would learn from it for a few minutes, because how can I consult the kovod of the sefer? Now, it's a question, parenthetically, how could it be that the stipler, with all the siyata d'shmaya, didn't always pull out the right sefer, and didn't, of course, always open up to the right page? It's a kashan amaisa teretzis. It had to happen once that we'd have a story to write about. But the stipler takes the sefer off the shelf, and it's the wrong sefer. He says, how can I be mavaza? How can I chalila disgrace or disparage the sefer? If soko soba achareka chosakol, I took this one off the shelf, I have to be ma'ayin, and I have to look into it, delve into it at least a couple of minutes before I put it back on the shelf from whence it came. That's the stipler. That's the Pinchas Hirschsprung, that's Rav Shach, the Chavivas, the Chashivas Asfari. And then there's the famous, the Yaduah Dikamaisa, Rebbe Akiva Eiger Zatzal. Kivager, in one of his many travels, he stopped by an inn and he asked the innkeeper, is there any sefer that I could use for the night? Kivager, of course, was one of the many, didn't need all that much sleep, so it was time to learn. He checked into the inn and he says to the innkeeper, you have any sfarim? So he goes rummaging behind the desk and he pulls out an old volume of the Chiddush HaRashba on Maseches Yevamos. Chiddush in the Novelet, penned by one of the greatest of all the Rishonim, the Hilig HaRashba, and he has the Chiddushim of the Rashba and one Maseches Yevamos. And the Kivager says, okay, I have a sefer. And he goes up to his room, and he opens up the sefer. And he starts at the beginning, and he goes page after page, and he gets up to the middle of the sefer. And sure enough, it's missing a couple of pages. So what does Kivager do? If you know all of Chiddushi HaRashba, Baal Peh, word for word by heart, then it's not such a problem. He took out the time, took a few pieces of scrap paper, and he wrote out word for word every word of the Chiddushi HaRashba, a few missing pages, and he inserted it into the middle of the Chiddushi HaRashba. Myrdik, Evaldik, well, you came, you heard the story, many of you must know, I've heard it before. Look at the galus, the greatness of Rebbe Kivager, he knew every word of the Rashba, word for word, Baba. So that's the greatness of the Maisa. What an unbelievable story. You see, Gaon Sheva Gaonim, Rebbe Kivager can know not just Shas, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, word for word, Baba. Even the commentaries of the Rishonim, he knew it word for word, Baba. That's Rebbe Kivager. He didn't live so long ago, 1800s, and here he is, knowing every word, Baba. Story's not over. The one from whom I heard the story years ago was someone who learned in yeshivas in Europe. And he said the greatness of the story, it's no big deal, it's no chiddush. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the heilig of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Zatzal, know every word in the chiddush HaRashba Bapeh. That's not a chiddush. So what's the greatness of the story? If you know it word for word Bapeh, what do you have to spend the time to write it out for? So you're starting, you're learning the Rashba, opening up from Dab Beis, and you read it straight through, so now you don't know the words, you know the words. If you know about Peh, Akadik Hatha, you could subsequently fill in every missing word, so then you know it anyway about Peh, so what do you have to fill it in for? So what's the greatness? Because still, he wants to learn it piksav. He wants to see it in print, Elote Shemiyah Gadol Meriyo. He doesn't merely want to think about it, he wants to see the words in print, so that's the greatness of the story. Even though you see for sure that he knew it word for word, Bapeh, he still wanted to take the time diligently to write it out word for word, because it's better to learn from it inside. So you think that's the greatness? No, that's not the greatness. What's the greatness of the story? Kivager cares so much about a Chiddushi HaRashba. And how could there be a Rashba in the world that's missing pages? How could there be such a chosh of a sefer in the world that's missing words? I can't let that be. Better for me to take out that time. How many people are going to stop by the inn? There was dust all over the pages. How many people ever use this Rashba? How many people ever will? It doesn't make a difference. How could there be a Rashba in the world that's missing words, missing pages? It's not shy. I have to fix that. I have to correct it. Because I can't stand there to be a safe in the world. That's not complete. That's a Rikiv Eger. That's Chashivus, attaching importance, and a Chavivus, a love for Sfar Makadosh. There's one story of Rosh Hashiva who broke up with a charus of his because after the learning session, after the charus shop one day, the bocher closed the Gemara, but he closed it, he slammed it shut. How can you take a Gemara and slam it shut? How can you close a Gemara when you're finished with the safe? What do? You close it like a book? Yes, when you finish cramming for your biology exam, for your chemistry quiz, and a chrami. Then what do? You slam it shut. Good, I got this out of the way. This is over and done with. But a Gemara, how can you not go in and kiss it? How could you not give it a kiss and close it? And caress it and soothe it. How can you not touch it and kiss it lightly? That's a Gemara. That's a Sefer. In the art school biography, Remendel Kaplan, Remendel and his wisdom. He once saw his son come home from yeshiva, and he had a pile of Sifrei Kodesh and a pile of Sifrei Chol. His Limudei Kodesh, Sfarim, and his Limudei Chol books. And he put them side by side in the table. He says, how can you put them side by side in the same table? He says, either put them in two separate places or put the Sfarim HaKadoshim on the table and put the English books on the floor. Separate them. They're not both books. These are Sfarim HaKadoshim. You have to love Sfarim. So let me finish up this section of tonight's shiur with just one additional story. One of my favorite stories that has to do with Sfarim. Years ago, we were living in Eretz Yisrael in Sanhedrin Mechevet before we had moved to Shari Chesed. I would often daven by the Vishnitz Shul of Chassidim. And waiting for Maariv to begin, I would sometimes take a sefer off the shelf and I noticed they had this fascinating work of Shalom Sachu. It was published by Mossad Rav Kook over 50 years ago. Tshuva's responsa penned by Rav Avram Rosen called Shalom Sachu's Eitan Aryeh. Eitan Aryeh. And I was looking through a number of the tshuvas. And each one fascinated me more than the next. I said, I got to get this. That's it. I got to get it. I want to get this safer. And I would go from sperm store to sperm store. It took me 1 or 2 years of looking until I almost gave up hope. I said, forget it. It's out of print and never reprinting it. Of course, right when you finally find it and you pay a massive fortune for it, that's when they finally decide to reprint it. I had that with a sefer that told us Adam and the Sefri. I went through so many Sfarim stores to get this unbelievable commentary on the Sefri. I finally spent a bloody fortune for it. And mamish, within a couple of months, my son of Cook said, hey, you know what? 50 years later, why not? Why don't we just decide to reprint it and sell it for about $10? What can you do? So I'm on a search for this Eitan Aryeh. I can't get it anywhere. Now, the interesting thing is that my first name happens to be Eitan, and my father's first name, or his name is Aaron Aryeh, his name is Aryeh. So I always thought it was a nice cop, Eitan Aryeh. So I was joking with my dad that there's an interesting safer out there called Shalom Sachuvas, Eitan Aryeh. It's got my name and your name. Wouldn't it be nice that we had it in the house? Okay. My parents come to Eretz Yisrael for a visit. They're in Eretz Yisrael for about a week. And my youngest brother at that time, he was still going to Ben Yehuda. No one even knows what that is anymore today, Baruch Hashem. We were walking back from the hotel, and one of my brothers says, you know what, I'm hungry, we got to go to Apple Pizza. And I'm there with my wife, and I'm saying, Ben Yehuda, what is Ben Yehuda? I haven't been to Ben Yehuda in years. I'm living in it, so who goes to Ben Yehuda? I can't go to Ben Yehuda. No, so-and-so wants pizza, we're going to get him pizza. We're going to go to Apple Pizza. What am I going to do? I'm not walking into Ben Yehuda. No, you walk into Ben Yehuda, keep it off aim, okay, whatever it is. I got my wife with me, that's it. I take off my glasses, and there I am going into Ben Yehuda, buy Apple Pizza. I'm a lactose intolerant type of guy. I'm not even interested in the pizza. So what am I going to do? My brother's sitting away waiting for the pizza. So I say, let me go on a little walk. I'm going to walk with my wife and see, is there anything interesting on this block with Apple Pizza? Here I am in the middle of Yerushalayim, in the middle of Ben Yehuda. And what is there? What do you think is there in Menu? I don't know, a computer store, a yogurt store, make your own yogurt, make your own sundae, t-shirts, everything. All this mishugas. And I'm walking into a store, and there's a bookstore. And I see the owner doesn't even have a yarmulke on. It's one of these Freie bookstores, one of these secular Jews, unfortunately. And it's all secular books. But I say, you know what? We're in Eretz Yisrael. It's got to be that even in a bookstore filled with secular books, they got to have at least a couple of sfarim that I can maybe look at. Anyway, it's better to be off the street. Any excuse to get off the street. So I go into the sfarim store, and I say, do you have any Sifrei Kodesh? Any of them? Yes. He says, sure, I have one bookcase in back. So what do you think it consists of? Of course, it's Siddurim. and machzorim and the nilo, and here's the dictionary from Hebrew into English and English into Hebrew and German and Yiddish, etc. All the things that any secular person walking in Ben Yehuda might find worthwhile. So he's got the chumashim, he's got the tanachs, he's got the sidurim, and then I'm telling you, smack in the middle of the bookcase, he has no shalos tshuvos from Rav. I'm telling you, if you're going to remember anything from tonight, you're going to remember the story. I'm in Ben Yehuda, the guy's not wearing a yarmulke. The guy doesn't even know what sfarim he has on the shelf. And smack in the middle of the bookcase, I am not kidding you, is a shalos tshuvos asinari. I'm like, either this guy had some lost relative who left him the safe, or he went and robbed Vision. It's last night at Villa Hines. Every time I'm in Vision, I'm like, I'm just hoping, I'm davening really hard. Maybe the guy is going to come over and he says, you know, fine, I see you using the safe. You know, we don't really need it. Just take it already. Just using it all the time. Just keep it. He's got the Shalos Tshuvos Eisen Aryeh, over 50 years old, but the Sefer's out of print, and it's smack in the middle of the bookcase. Of course, I get all excited, start to smile. My wife's like, what are you so happy about? I'm like, it's here, it's right here. She's like, what? I'm like, shh, don't talk about it too much. He's going to see we're excited. He's going to charge me a bloody fortune for it. She says, yes, did you find anything? I'm like, yeah, I found this old Sefer. It's out of print. Yeah, I probably can't do anything with it, but you know what? You know, you're probably not going to use it. I can probably use it. I can find someone who's going to use it. So maybe you can give it to me for like 10 shekel. 10 shekel, no, 20 shekel. Okay, fine, 20 shekel. Sefer is on the market for like $60. Okay, 20. I'm looking around the swamp, so I'm like, if I found this gem, who knows, maybe I'll find something else. I'm looking around. Meanwhile, my father came in. They already finished with the pizza. He comes in and he says, did Eitan find anything? No, he found the Sefer. So he goes, oh, what a great Sefer. Eitan are you? It's my name. It's his name. I'm going to buy it for him. So that's it. He buys it. I didn't even have to pay for it in the end. He's my favorite brother, by the way. He doesn't even eat apple pizza anymore, but look what he got me. I always believe, ain't davar amid b'fnei ratzon. If you want it, if you build it, he will come. If you want it, I'll have the laf have dollars. If you really want it, it's going to come. If you love sfarim and you cherish sfarim, it's going to come. So yes, I'm holding by the stage that my wife thinks our apartment in Archisol is really a library that has a bed squeezed in somewhere over there. It's not an apartment anymore. But as Pesach Kron used to say, isn't that what a yid is all about? When you walk into the house, what do you want to see? You want to see a bayis mole sfarim. You want to see sfarim all over the place. If you love sfarim, and that's what life is all about. So that's what you want to fill up your household with. On that note, let's go to Rashi and Pirkei Avos. Rashi and Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yishuv ben Prachya Omer, Asei l'charav, k'nei l'chachover, v'vidanus kol adam l'kafzchus. So acquire for yourself a friend, and of course all the mafarshim have a heyday. What does it mean to acquire, pay money, to go out and purchase and acquire friendship? What exactly that means? Of course, it's a shiur in and of itself. But writes Rashi, ala makom, ala tar, what does Rashi say? What's the taich, what's the perush advarim of a chaver? So Rashi brings amri lo sfarim, v'amri lo chaver mamish. The first explanation, the Rashi says, what does it mean? A k'nei l'chachaver. A k'nei l'chachaver says, sfarim. Oh, and derech agav, I'll give you another pshat. Then Rashi says, by the way, sign, some people say that it also can mean chaver mamish, an actual friend. But the first explanation the Rashi presents is what? Asei l'charav, k'nei l'chachaver. Buy for yourself sfarim, because those are the best friends in the world. After my early admissions here in YU, I had this course of learning by Rav Mendel Blachman Shlito, Magid Shir and Yeshivas Kermi Avna. I was in Kermi Avna for 2 years, and I asked Rav Mendel Blachman regarding his yeshiva background. He told me he was a bachur in Chicago, and he left Chicago when he was but a teenager to go learn in Chevron Yeshiva under the tutelage of Simchos Sabrodi Zatzal. And he said to all his friends who constantly inquired, Mendel, are you Meshuga? What are you leaving? Nobody else, no Americans. No Americans are going from Chicago. You're going from Chicago. You never know where Chicago ends up. Some of the Meshuganas even end up in the White House. But here, Lahavdil, here a Mendel Blachman says, I'm going to go to Chevron. I'm leaving everybody behind and I'm going to go to Chevron. But you don't have any friends going. What do you mean I don't have any friends? I have a Gemara, I got Rashi, I got Taisus, I got Abayi and Rav, I got Rav and Shmuel. I have a Maharel, I have a Bnei Yisrael star, I got a Kedushas Levi, I have Rishonim. What do you mean I don't have friends? I'm coming with the best friends in the world. And there's no shortage of those best friends. K'nei l'chachaver, Rashi's first explanation is Sfara. And then we have a well-known Rav Chaim Volozhin, Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who writes in his Ruach Chaim commentary in Pirkei Avos, if we rewind just a bit, we make our way back to Parak Aleph, to Mishnah Dalet, and there we find Yosef ben Yezer, Ish Tzrei de Omer, Your house should be a house filled with chachamim. Bring Torah sages, saintly and pious individuals. Bring them into your household. Right, Chaim Elojim. Lo kolonim zocha. Not everybody merits to go and bring Tamid Chachamim into the house. How can everyone have the schus of bringing Tamid Chachamim into the house? If you're a big gavir, then in a chalami, you can have the schus, but not everybody can afford it, not everyone has the reputation. So how are you makayim? This statement from Chazal writes the Heligra Chaim Elojim. You know what you do? You buy Sfarim. You buy a lot of Sfarim, because the Sfarim are the kiyim, the words. And the messages of all the respective Tamina Chachamim, he beis Chacham, beis Van Chachamim, make it an assembly place, a gathering place for the Chachamim. If you can't bring in the actual physical Tamina Chacham, then bring in the Sfarim. Bring in all the works, because they're talking to us, they're speaking to us via the conduit of the Sfarim HaKadoshim. The Kol HaPochus, at least bring those into your house, and that's a key, and that's a quasi-fulfillment of this statement, Perkei Avos Aleph Daled, bring the Tamina Chacham into your house. So, we'll bring the Sfarim in, and it'll be as if we're bringing the Tamid Chacham into the house. But in the end of the day, with all the chashivas and all the chavivas of Sfarim that we all might have, that we all might work and strive towards, acharei kechlos hakol, it's not the same thing as the Talmid Chacham himself. Because the Talmid Chacham himself is not just the one who penned a work called a Sefer. It's not merely a machaber Sefer. He is a living Sefer Torah. That's a Talmid Chacham. He's a living, walking, breathing Sefer Torah. Al Kedekach, there was a famous Meisen, Voloshin, a yeshiva. Reitze Voloshin took over for his father, Chaim Voloshin, founded the yeshiva with the council of the Vilna Gaon. And Reitze Voloshin was then the Rosh Yeshiva. The Netziv was one of the Magidei Shiurim. And the Netziv, the famous author, the Hemegdavron of Tolit Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, was one time walking back from the Aron Kodesh carrying a Sefer Torah. And unfortunately, he tripped coming down the steps. The Netziv tripped holding a Sefer Torah, and he came crashing to the ground, as did the Sefer Torah. Rav Yitzchak Voloshin, the Rosh Yeshiva, has 1 second to think, to Paskin, who do you pick up first? And what do you think the answer was? He gave a clap on the beam and said, you pick up the Netziv before you pick up the Sefer Torah. This is a Sefer Torah, and the Netziv himself is a walking, breathing, living Sefer Torah. I said, then maybe it's a shikol adas, which should you pick up first? And then it says, El Bazar, this is a Sefer Torah, and he is a Sefer Torah. No, he's greater than the Sefer Torah. He's greater than all the Sfarim out there. And where would that come from? A well-known Gemara, Maseches Makis, the top of Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. Amar Rava, the Gemara reads that Rava said, Kama tipshi sharimshi de mekami mekami sefer Torah, velo kami mekami gava rabba. How foolish are people? They stand up for a sefer Torah, and they don't stand up for a great person. If you stand up for a sefer Torah, kal v'chaymer, v'ben menosha kal v'chaymer, how can you not stand up for a great person? Now, parenthetically, this seems to be run contradictory to a similar Gemara in Maseches Kedushin, in the middle of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and the Ritva is all made on this Kasha, as is some Sefer in Torah's Moshe, Pashas Kiseitze, the Sefer Mikna on the Gemara there in Kedushin, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. There the Gemara seems to be, Mashma seems to be indicative that the Sefer Torah is a little greater than the Talmid Chacham. But Rav is telling us that's not the way to learn. If you stand up for a Sefer Torah, the Kavachom, or Mibem Menoshe Kavachom, you have to stand up for a Gav Rabba, for a Talmid Chacham. Asks from Moshe Feinstein, and the Sefer Drash Moshe, the Likutim on Shas, at the back of the Drash Moshe, and his Ha'oris on Shas, Makas 22b. And he says, I don't understand the Gemara. What do you mean, Kama Tipshi Sharinshi? How foolish people are. If they're not standing up for the Talmid Chacham, they're not foolish, they're Avrayonim, they're Rishonim, they're not being Mekayim, they have a Gemara in Kedushin. Lamar Beza Beza, you have to stand up for Talmid Chacham, Adat B'nei Zokin, In Zokin, L'misha Kona, Misha Kona Chachmo. So that means you have to stand up for Talmid Chacham. So what do you mean they're foolish? They're not foolish, they're Avrayonim, they're Rishonim. Elazok the Heligar Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. What did he say? Avada, certainly they're standing up for the Talmid Chacham. But they're standing up for the Talmid Chacham because they think it's the same thing. Here's the Talmid Chacham and here's the Sefer Torah. Say, I have a Sefer Torah in the one hand, I have a Talmid Chacham. It happens to be a walking Sefer Torah. Zok to Moshe Feinstein, they're not the same thing. The Talmid Chacham is greater than the Sefer Torah. He has a Shlita. It's Yado Alayon. He controls the Sefer Torah. Like Rava goes on to say, the Pasuk reads in Shoftim, Arbam Yakenu, how long the Sefer Torah Ksiv? It says you get 40 makas when you transgress a negative commandment to Losase in the Torah. And also they Rabban and Abatsuchad, and they diminished the count, and they went from 40 to 39, Minyan HaSofer Esar Boy. They control because they interpret the Torah. Famous Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi, Park Aleph, the end of Halacha Beis, the Rashba brings it to Shach and Yehudei, Hilchas Nida. When it comes to certain halachas pertaining to Hilchas Nida, Women have cycles, menstrual cycles, that go in accordance with the lunar months, and all that can change based on when Chazal are Kovei of the Chodesh, based on when Chazal decide to be Ma'abar, the Shana, and the Metzias, the physical anatomy of a woman will change in accordance to when Chazal decide, today is Rosh Chodesh, today we decide we're going to make an Adar Sheni, and all the physical, the physiological makeup of the woman is going to change in accordance with that. Why? Because we're Levailim over the Torah. We're not Stam, Talmidei Chachamim. When we talk about Tamina Chacham, they're not Stam people who know the Sefer Torah, and it's the same thing. They're walking Sefer Torah. They're people who have the Bailus. They control the Sefer Torah. That's the galus of the Tamina Chacham. Chaim Voloshin was once asked, and the difference between Zalman Voloshin, his older brother, who unfortunately died young, who was considered the number one Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, what's the difference between the number one Talmud and the Rebbe? They used to often even learn together. We know the Vilna Gaon used to only sleep 2 hours every 24-hour period. He would take 4 half-hour naps. One time, a star pupil of Zalman Voloshin tried to stay up all night learning with his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. 5 o'clock in the morning, somebody else knocks in the room to ask the Vilna Gaon, to ask the Rebbe a shayla. And at that moment of time, Zalman Voloshin pushed it. He couldn't stay awake any longer. And he started to fall. And before he hit the ground, the Vilna Gaon caught his head in his hands. And he prevented him from falling and hitting the ground. And somebody asked the Groy, he says, what are you doing? He says, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm holding Kola Torah Kula in my hands. That was Zalman Voloshin. And how great was Zalman Voloshin? He knew Shas word for word, Bal Peh, like somebody knows Ashrei, word for word, forwards. But my Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, knows Shas, Kol Torah Kula, like someone who knows Ashrei backwards. Tell him a word, he'll tell you the word that preceded it, and the word that succeeded it. He had Kisvei Maluach Libecha Kedushin Dav Lamed Amin Aleph, and Yishlucha Odom Dabra Alta Gam Gebo, give him the answer right away. He had it all Kisvei Maluach Libecha, he saw all of Kol Torah Kula in front of his face at all times. That was the Vilna Gaon. But in addition, Chaim Voloshin said, I'll tell you another difference. When you see my brother coming out of the Beis HaKisei, out of the bathroom, you see Rav Zalman Voloshin, and his face was all red and it was all crinkled and wrinkled. He had to concentrate and think so hard, I can't think in Torah when I'm in the bathroom. It's also, you're not allowed to think, but Maharan Dibre Torah, but Makoma Samatan Elfus and disheveled places filled with odors, putrid odors, etc. See, he came out of such a struggle. It was a mamish, a major avoda, not to think and learning when he was in the bathroom. See, he would come out and his face was all red, and you see, he had to majorly concentrate. Aye, and what about the Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon? The Vilna Gaon would walk out, and he'd be the regular saint playing Vilna Gaon. Because he was mamish, a walking, breathing Sefer Torah, mamish. And if the Torah says here you can learn and here you can't learn, then it's automatic. That's the Vilna Gaon. People like that tell us how to interpret the Torah. They have a control, a shlita over the Torah itself. But it's much deeper than that. Let's talk about those living Sfarim tonight. And let's start with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samachesim and Aleph. Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, Lozer HaGadol died, he went and started banging on his chest until dam was shoseis, until blood started to drip onto the floor. He was in such a state of bereavement, so bereft of his dear beloved Rebbe, that he started to cut himself. So sad, so despondent, he began to cut himself, started to bleed. And Tysus, of course, asks the obvious question. Tysus then, Sanhedrin, Samaches, as well as in Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Tysus says, I don't understand, I have a Pasuk in Kedosh, in Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Chav Ches, 1928, the Pasuk says, Lo Ziz Godedu, Lo Si Mekarchem, and Enechem, Le Meis, Lo Sisser, you don't want to cut yourself. When somebody dies, Rachmana Letzlan, somebody loses, suffers the loss of a close relative, it's for you're forbidden, you're enjoined from ever making a gash, ever cutting into yourself. So how could Rabbi Akiva, the Tana Loki, the greatest of all sages, what gave him the right to make a slash, to cut into himself? Answers Tysus in both places, Mishum Torah Ka'avid, he did it because of the Torah. Ad Kan Tysus, that's it. So what does that mean? What does that mean he did it because of the Torah? But the Torah itself says you're not allowed to do it. His Rebbe died, and the Torah says you're not allowed to cut yourself. So if you're not allowed to cut yourself, what gives him that? I'm doing it the Shem Shemayim. You can do everything in the world. You can do Avera the Shem Shemayim, but that's called an Avera when all is said and done. So what was the leniency? What gave him the right to go out and make a gash and cut into his flesh? What does Tysus mean, Mishim Torah? He did it because of the Torah. Rav Shimshon Pinkas Atzal has an unbelievable work. It's obligated reading for every single Jew, called Shor B'Tfilah on Tfilah. One of the best form around to really work on your Tfilah. You always is bothered. He writes in the introduction to Sharma Tfili, he says, why is it that every subsequent year of our schooling, we're always growing? This year we learn Chumash, this year Chumash and Rashi, this year Chumash Rashi Ramban, and then we add on this, and the Rechaim, and the Klei Yoker, and now we're learning Mishnayos and Gemara, etc. Why are we not growing in Tfila? Why are we not actively working on our Tfila? And he published a fantastic work all about working on Tfila in light of the different Lashonis, the different terminologies accorded to Tfila. And Daf Lama Tes, on page 39, writes the following idea. Truth is, the idea already appears in Rav Asher Bergman's Sefer Shimusha Shel Torah, page 120, quoting the son of the Alter Mikam. And the Vort is like this. What does Taisus mean, Mishum Torah Kavod? He did it because of the Torah. And the answer is, because the reason we can't cut ourselves is, as the Pasuk makes clear in Parshas Re'eh, Perk Yedal, Pasuk Aleph, Bon matem l'Hashem Elokeichem, your sons to Hashem, your God. Don't cut yourself. Don't make any incisions. Don't make any gashes. And when you are in a state of bereavement, you've lost a loved one, you're not allowed to cut yourself. Why? The Hadamo, the introductory message, is the first opening phrase in the Pasuk is because you're bon matem l'Hashem Elokeichem. As the Ibn Ezra, the Sforno, and others explain, if you are sons to Hashem, your God, yes, unfortunately, you lost a parent, you lost a child, you lost a relative. So you know what? You're in a state of mourning. But remember that you still have God, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you more than any parents could ever love you. The Rebbe Shem, Tati in Himmel, our God in heaven loves us more than any parent can ever possibly love a child. So you're right. What's the reason why God took away this dear relative? It's part and parcel of God's infinite master plan. We don't know His ways. We hope it's Yisur and Shalava. But when all is said and done, to cut yourself, you can't cut yourself, because Barnum Atem, Hashem Lekichem, you're still sons to Hashem, your God. And if you're sons to Hashem, your God, that relationship is still there. You're always connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you always have that link, that chain, Yaakov, Cheva, Nachalasa, we're always linked to the Eibishter, to the Borei Olam, then yes, even when you're in a state of depression, of despondency, and all seems lost and forlorn because you now suffered the untimely demise of a relative, it doesn't make a difference because you're still connected. So you're not allowed to cut to make any incisions. But what happens if I suffer a loss within the connection between me and God? What happens when a person loses his Rebbe? Your Rebbe is your tzinor, is your channel, is the link, is the rope that connects you to the Borei Olam, that connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven. And if you lose your Rav, you lose your Rebbe, the one to whom you always posed the questions and you asked your difficulties, the one who was Madrichi, the one who gave you the guidance, the one who told you how to interpret the Torah, how to learn up a Daf Gemara, how to learn up a Klei Yoker, Ramban, and Archaim HaKadosh, etc., then you're not simply suffering stam a loss, you're suffering a loss that's connected directly to your relationship with God. Because you're a ben or a bas Hashem Elokeichem, that's why you can't cut yourself. But what happens if I feel a deficiency, I feel a major void? In light of the loss of a Rebbe, of a personal Rav, now I lost my tzino, I lost my connection, the pipeline, my lifeblood that directed me and connected me back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If I lost that, now there's a pegima, there's a deficiency in a chisaram, in that very phrase of bottom up temple shingach, I don't feel like I'm the ben anymore because I can't connect because I lost my Rebbe. That, Rechaim Shmulovitz, that the son of the Alter Mikelm explained, is what Tosas means, Mishim Torah Kavod. He did it for the Torah, because his Torah will never again be the same without his Rebbe alive. So Rekiva cuts into himself and he ultimately bleeds. So where did Rebbe Akiva get this message from? Where did he pick this up? Perhaps we could suggest that he got it from none other than his Rebbe himself, Rabbi Eliezer Rav Lazar HaDodo. See, this is a Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Yud Zayin Ben Aleph that tells us Mevatel and Tam HaTorah L'Hachnasas Kala Avayas Hameis. When people learning are invited to a chasana, you got to go to the chasana. You have to go to a chasana, you have to go to Levaya. What are you going to do? It's a famous story of Rosh Hashiva. And he knows all the tircha, everyone's waiting for pictures, all the nourishkeit. Here's this Yeshiva Rosh Hashiva and his kapota, and his long white beard and his hamburg, and he's got to go to the chasana of his own daughter. Nevi, he's got to marry off his daughter. He wants to learn. He wants to learn Abba. What a simcha. He gets to marry off his daughter, right? This is the greatest day in our life. Isaac Asimov writes in his Book of Facts that a woman in ancient Greece would only start counting her age from the day upon which she got married. You can imagine a 65-year-old woman gets married to us. It's her one-year-old birthday today. You know how many men must have gone to jail in ancient Greece? So here you have the day of the wedding, and the Rosh Hashiva said, I got to walk my daughter down to the chuppah. But you know what? After all the pictures and all the tircha de tzibura, I'm going to take out a gemara. He takes out a gemara. And he got so shakua, so lichtig in the sugya. He was so involved, so engrossed in the sugya. And he came down and said, Rosh Hashiva, you know, it's time to walk your daughter down to the aisle. He says, oh, he closes the gemara. He goes, oh, sargit obonim. Sargit obonim, what can you do? It's the greatest simcha. Chazanish used to write, unfortunately, Chazanish of Avram Yeshaya Karela Tzatzel, as we know, he never had any children, but in the biography in the Maisa Ish, they mentioned that the Chazanish, every time he published one of his Sfarim, another volume of his work, he said, I was margish the simcha, I tasted the happiness of walking a child down to the chuppah. He equated it, it's one and one the same, walking a child down to the chuppah and publishing a sefer. Oh, they had the sefer. And this Rashi was involved in the learning arts. I get a one, what can I do? Rav Chaim Waxman says over a story of the Divrei Chaim, the sons of Rav. Also, it was his daughter's chasana. And he got into learning, oh, it's all the waste of time and the flowers. Hey, they're going to bother the sons of Rav with the flowers and the dress and the pictures and all that. See, so he's going to learn. And when finally the Mechutan came to get the sons of Rav, he said he was drunk, intoxicated from his learning. He was so involved in his learning, he was jumping for joy, so involved in his learning. He says, how can I give this up? Yes, I love my daughter, I want to walk her down the chuppah. But it's the same thing. It was such an incredible simcha for them. And learning from the Sfarim, etc. So the Gemara says that if you're learning, you have to stop to go to the chasana. Okay, you have to stop. What can you do? Sheva brachos. I don't know how many people get to learn in sheva brachos. Guy gets married, chasana gets married to the kala. What's he doing all the time? He's got to take care of the kala. You got to go pick out the furniture, the carpet, and even if the husband doesn't want to do it, you better do it anyway. You got to pretend like you're really interested in whether or not the color of the living room couch matches the color of the blinds and matches the color of the carpet. Why women think we're going to be interested in these things, I really have no idea. But you better put on a good show. In fact, I don't want to get on too much of a tangent, but this is such a great vart. Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes in the Sefer Teferis Elvis, he says, where does the minna come from that when a chassan gets up by his ufruf, and he starts to say over Dvar Torah, Shtikol Torah, we start interrupting him. How could he do that? Doesn't the Mishnah say in Perkei Avos, if somebody is walking in the derech and he stops, he's mafsik in the Mishnah, so haray, no, it's considered a ki'ilu mischayiv anavshu. It's as if he's chayiv mishi. He can't stop in the middle of learning. See, here a bacher gets up, it's his ufruf. The week before the chasana, I know the kala is not there, so let me tell you what happens. But you've all been there, you know what happens, and the chasana gets up, and of course many chasana don't even prepare, and they're hoping like, okay, I'll make it seem like I prepared something really good, and they're going to slug me up and stop me anyway. I had a friend, by the way, he did that. He was great. Great sense of humor. A friend of mine, he knew that everybody was going to slow him up, and he was so busy he didn't have time to prepare. And he's a brilliant guy. So what did he do? He got up and he said, I have five questions. And from those five questions, I'm going to ask another five questions. And he starts asking one question, of course, oh, Yeshama. And they say, I know, Dabnach, so, oh, Mazel Tov, etc. And then finally, they're singing, they're going on, and they start singing him again. And finally, 5 minutes later, he goes, oh, so now that we answered all our 25 questions with an amazing Rishon HaMalach, now I can sit down. He never prepared a thing. So Rav Pinkus asks in a Sefer, he says, how are we mafsik? How do we interrupt this person? How do we stop in the middle of learning? He says, you know why? Because we're doing it the Kavod Torah. If we do it for the honor of Torah, if you're in the middle of learning and you stop and say, hey, look at that billboard lore, like the mission for Elvis, example, look at it. Saw the, no, look at this near, look at this plowed field, look at all these nice, pretty things. In the middle of learning, that doesn't compare to the beauty of Torah. That's musik, midvash, venofesu, it's sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than honey, right? That's why they felt that the Torah is even sweeter than getting married. I don't know, it could be. We mentioned in the past that Isha is Gematria 306 and Devash honey is 306. That's why husbands call their wives honey. Honey, right? 306. Husbands call the wives honey. Isha is Devash. I but the Torah is Mosuk, Midvash, and Ovesuf. But don't worry, the Torah is compared to Devash. It's also compared to an Isha. So Pinkus says, how could it be that we stop the chosin in the middle of learning? She says, because we're doing it for the covet of Torah. Because we're telling the Bacha, you think this is Torah, this is learning, wait until you get married. The Gemara says in Yevamos, the bottom of 62b, that Ashori below Isha, someone who is single, someone who doesn't have a wife by his side, a shori below simcha, below tov, below shlemus, below Torah. So right, Sir Pinkus, you think this is Torah? This is garnish. This is nothing. When you get married, then you're going to fly. Then it's going to be real Torah, right? And women, they're going to encourage their husbands to learn. Sota chafal from an aleph brochas yitzayim an aleph nosha ma'izach and ekor v'nai. They're going to send the husbands and the kids to learn, and they're going to encourage the kids to learn. That's why parenthetically, Rav Noson Tzvi Finkel says it's terrible that wives give their husbands cell phones today, because the whole schar of noshim is they send their husbands to learn and they don't know where the husbands are. But now they give the husbands a cell phone, and whenever the wife wants, hey, in the middle, whatever he's doing, can you pick up some eggs and don't forget the milk and make sure to have the car back by this time? So if they know where the husbands are, every second of the time they're losing out on the schar. the whole scholars that they don't know where the husbands are. But now every woman's got a link, has got a chain on her husband. That's it. Wherever he goes, it doesn't. She's got him on a leash. That's it. She's got the cell phone number. And if he shuts it off, he is in major trouble. I know. That's it. I keep it on all the time. I give her my schedule. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same as the scholar. In fact, Chaim Kanevsky writes in Derech Sicha and Chelek Aleph, the nafkamina l'halocha of Shana Rishona. A person has to be mesameach his wife Shana Rishona. It means before you leave the house, you have to ask your wife permission. First year of marriage, that's what it means to be mesameach your kala. You're not allowed to leave the house without asking permission. Mashma that after the first year. So writes Rav Pinkus, that we stop the chos in the middle of learning to show him you think this is learning. Wait until you get married, then you're going to fly. It's going to be learning of a whole loftier spiritual level. It's going to be of no madrega altogether. So we tell him we're masik. It's not a bizon. It's not a disgrace to the Torah. On the contrary, it's for the chashivas, the love of Torah itself. This is Torah. No way. It's a much greater Torah after you get married. So ask a brisker. A brisker, Talmud, got up in Young Israel Riverdale a number of years ago and he asked a good kashan, Pinkus. And he says, that's all fine and dandy when it comes to the Ofra, but we know the minute continues through the Sheva Brachas, in the middle of the Sheva Brachas too. The Chosin now gets up in the Sheva Brachas, and what happens? They start slugging him up. So the whole reason is to say the Torah before and after marriage, but now it's after marriage, it's post-marriage, and we're still continuing the minute of slugging him up and interrupting him in the middle of learning. How can we do that? So he answered, Posha, because everybody knows in Sheva Brachas, who in the world has time to learn in Sheva Brachas? You gotta catch up on tons of missed hours of sleep. You gotta go furniture shopping and set up the apartment. And so any Torah that the Bocher prepared, that the Chosin now prepared, it's a Gilui Mosa. It must be that he prepared it when he was still a Bocher. So that's what we're showing him. He gets up at the Sheva Brachas. And he starts saying, "Shem Torah." We think, "Ha, we could slug you up. Why do you think you have time to prepare Shem Brachos? A new shtickle Torah? No way. It was prepared when you were still a bocher. So we can still go ahead and slug you up." Okay, we got to stop now. The tangent's getting way too far. So back to the Gemara in hand, we go back to Ksuvus, the bottom of 17a. So you stop your learning to go to the Chasana and to go to Levaya. So Taisus there asks the question. We have an interesting brisa appearing in Mesechas Derech Eretz Zuta in the 8th chapter. It's one of the Mesechas Ketanos published at the close of Mesechas Avodah Zarah. Derech Eretz Zuta Perches says that the one time Rabbi Akiva was going to learn by his Rabbeim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and on the way, he saw a meis mitzvah. He saw a corpse, no relatives, nobody being metapil, no one tending to the corpse to inter it properly and give it a proper burial. So he took out the time and he went and buried. Meis mitzvah, he has to be mamsik, he has to stop whatever he's doing and bury the meis. And he comes late to be meshamesh, to serve Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, his rabbeim. And they say, Rabbi Akiva, they say, where were you when he says that? I told them the honest truth, what the story was, that he was metapil in a meis mitzvah. And they said, it's a beautiful thing, you did a great mitzvah. But you should know that kiilu harakta esatzmacha. It's as if you killed yourself. And you'll never again be the same Rabbi Akiva. Why? How could that be? Asks the Baalei HaTaisus. Mevatlan tamatar chanasas keisho levayas ameis. If I have to stop my learning, when I'm in the middle of learning, I stop to go to levaya, then kal v'chayma achas kal v'kamo, you stop your learning to go bury a meis mitzvah, who has nobody to be metapel and inter the corpse properly. So what's going on? Taisus brings an answer in the name of one of the Malia. Taisus, the Rimi Kervil, or Yaakov Mikervil, who answers ever so succinctly, because Gedola Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. Because greater than learning itself is to be a Mashamish, is to serve a Tamachachim, is to serve a Rav, is to serve a Rebbe. And that's even greater than the actual learning. So yes, you stop your learning, but if you were going to be Mashamish, to serve your Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, then Kilo Arachtas, that's who you killed the Rebbe Akiva that you could have been had you passed by the Meis Mitzvah to go serve your Rebbe. Because we need, the generation right now needs Rabbi Akiva to be the Gol Hador more than anything else, and we need you to be Mashamish, to serve ever so diligently and constantly and incessantly, you have to serve your Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. So look at the lesson that he was taught. Rabbi Eliezer, the Rebbe, teaches his wondrous disciple, Rabbi Akiva, that Gedola Shemusha Shatori Yosem and Limuda. And he'll never be the same because he lost out in a few minutes, maybe an hour, of being Meshamish's beautiful Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. So doesn't it make sense, assuming that this story occurred beforehand, which obviously it did, because now, going back to Sanhedrin 68a, we're now meeting up with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer's on his deathbed. And now Rabbi Akiva sees his Rebbe, Rav Lozer, pass away from this world, and he looks and says, it's my Rebbe, Rav Lozer, who taught me this concept that Gedola Shimusha Shator Yosef Limud, it's even greater to serve the Tamina Chamim, and to follow them, Havi Mas'avik Bafar Aglayim, and to follow after them, and to learn from them, and to get guidance, to seek their counsel and their guidance. See, he's the one who taught this to me, back in the Maseches Derech Herzut, in chapter 8. He taught me that Gedola Shimusha Shator Yosef Limud. So like Rav Chaim Shulovitz, it's almost beautiful. The reason he can now cut himself is because I learned from my very Rebbe, those are himself, that I killed myself. Why? Because I lost out on minutes of serving my Rebbe Rolozer. Now that Rolozer is gone for good, now that he passed away from this world, I'll never be the same Rebbe Akiva. I'll never have the same connection of Bona Matem L'Hashem L'Okeichem. Memela, Efshar, possibly that's where he got the heter, the leniency for. But let's be Mamshech the Kahala. Let's extend the train of thought. What did Rebbe Akiva scream out when his Rebbe Rolozer passed away from this world? You know what he screamed out? The pasuk from Sefer Melachim, Melachim Beis, Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Elisha, the Talmud, observes, he witnesses the great sage and his Rebbe Muvok, Elio, go up to Sara Shemaima. He ascends heavenward in a chariot, the fire, in the fiery chariot, and he screams out, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael, my father, the chariot of all Klai Yisrael. And he screams out, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael. Interesting. Perhaps we could suggest, why the double, the kfeilut halashon of Avi Avi? Just say Avi. What's Avi Avi? Perhaps one is Avi, a reference to what? You are my Rebbe, my Av, my father, Rebbe Lazar, and through you I connected to Avinu Shemashamayim, to my other Av, to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. No coincidence that Avi Gematria 13 plus Avi Gematria 13, Avi Avi is Gematria 26, Gematria Shem Avaya. Because by losing the Rebbe when Elio Novi went up, he didn't just lose his Rebbe Elio Novi. Through Elio, he was the tzinor, he was the pipeline, the lifeblood that connected him to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he lost his Rebbe Muvok Elio Novi, he lost to a certain degree the relationship that he had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a pagam, a deficiency in Bona Matem L'Shem Lokechem. It's never going to be the same. So he screams out, Avi Avi Rechem Yisrael. Any coincidence, therefore, that it's the relationship of Elisha and Eliyahu Navi that teaches us the very concept of Gedola Shimusha Shatora Yosem Elimuda. Let's go to the Gemara itself, to the source in Brachas, the bottom of Dav Zayin Amud Beis. Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. Rav Yochanan says, over in the name of the Tana, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, Gedola Shimusha Shatora Yosem Elimuda. It's greater to serve a Talmud Chacham, to follow in his path and to get the guidance, even greater than it is to learn from him. And what's the source? What's the origin of such a statement? Because when Elisha was serving Elio, the pasuk doesn't say that he was lomo, that he learned from Elio. It says, Yotzuk Mayim Ayadav. He poured water on his hands. He served him. Mikan, we see from here that if the Navi highlights the serving of Elisha, Klapi Elio, that that's even on a greater level than learning from Elio Navi. And even if you go with the Nusach, the terminology appearing in the fifth chapter of Tanit of Elio Rabba, there we have a different Nusach, but it also takes us back to the relationship of Elisha and Elio Navi. Fascinating. And who's the one to give us the very statement of Gedola Shimusha Yosem Limudo? Who was it? He didn't forget Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. We know about Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Whose Talmud was he? Let's go to Yevamos, the bottom of 62b, one of the five remaining Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva. After he lost the original 24,000, one of the five remaining disciples was whom? Was Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Makes sense? He sees his Rebbe serve his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. He sees his Rebbe cut himself when he loses his Rebbe because he lost his connection and turned to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we see the Rimi Kovil telling us that the justification for Rabbi Akiva to be criticized was because Gedola Shimusha Shator Yosem Limuda. So wouldn't you think that he gave over that all-important message to his disciples? Who's the one to teach us that very message on the pages of Shas? His main disciple, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, in the Gemara Bokas Dav Zayin Amud Beis. And where's the source that Gedola Shimusha greater than Limuda? From Elisha serving Elio Hanavi. And what happened when Elisha saw Elio Navi go up to Shemayim? He screamed out, Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael. And what did Rabbi Akiva do when he saw his Rabbi Elazar go up to Shemayim? What did he do? He screamed out that very same pasuk, Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael. It's all the same thing. It all comes together. And we're not done. There's a Medrash Shochar Tov on Mishlei Parsha Tes that says, who do you think it was that took up Rabbi Akiva's body to Shemayim? We know the story, Brachas, the bottom of 61b, Samach Aleph Amud Beis. They were scraping his skin, his flesh, with Masreka Shabarza, with combs of steel. And he died with Shema Yisrael Shemekinu Shemachot on his lips. That was Rabbi Akiva. Who carried his body up to Shemayim? The Medrash Ocher Tov says it was Eliyahu Navi who carried up the body of Rabbi Akiva to Shammai. Doesn't that make sense? Elisha serves Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi is the one who teaches his Talmud what it means to serve me and to follow me and to learn from me, not just to learn Torah from me, but to watch my ways and the way that I speak and to go and serve me and to watch all of my actions. Eliyahu imparts that wisdom to Elisha. Elisha sees his Rebbe Eliyahu go up to Shammai and he screams, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael. From that we learn, Gedola Shemusha Shatay Yashem Amuda, and who's the one to give us that statement? It's Rabbi Shimon Mechai, who in fact was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who was the only one in all of Shas to cut himself, because it was his Rabbi Elazar who taught him that lesson, and he utters the same trumpets, the same cry of Avi Avi Rechavi, so when his Rabbi leaves, in the same way that Elisha did when Eliyahu HaNavi left, and since Rabbi Akiva brought everything full circle, who takes up his body to Shammai and Eliyahu HaNavi, who started the whole process. And everything comes together. Now perhaps there's another idea here as well. We know that Yitzhak Avinu was an Esgalgal who reincarnated as Pinchas. The Arizal writes in Sefer HaGegulim in chapter 67, the Ramami Pano brings it down in his Gegulei Neshamas and Os Kuf Nun Hei. Pinchas was a Gilgal of Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzchak Gematria 208, Pinchas likewise Gematria 208. Yitzchak, based on the Gemara Megillah and all the Chazals, Yitzchak had one Pagam Kilo on his unbelievable Madrego. He was blinded at the end of his years. One reason he was blinded, the smoke of the incense of Esav's wives, etc. And one reason is, stayed in Chazal tell us, because he was Mastaka B'Pnei Rasha. He looked, and he gazed, and he loved an Esav. And you're not allowed to look and gaze at the face of Rosh Amida Kenning Amida. He lost his eyesight diminished, and he was blind. But who came to be Mastaka in Yitzhak Avinu? Pinchas was the Gilgal, the reincarnate of Yitzhak. Yitzchak 208, Pinchas 208. And who was Pinchas? Pinchas was, of course, Eliyahu HaNavi. Yaakov Shimoni, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, Reish Lakish. It's also in the Radak and Rabbeinu Machai in chapter 47 and the end of chapter 29 of Pirkei Lazar. And it's also Tanya Yonasim Zion on Parshas Pinchas and again in Parshas Ve'era. We know that Pinchas, who Eliyahu HaNavi, writes the Bnei Yisoschar in his Mamori, Choche Tamas and Av, that Pinchas Eliyahu is Gematria, Ayin plus Ayin. Ayin plus Ayin. You add up the gematria of Ayin plus Ayin, and that's gematria of Pinchas Eliyahu. Pinchas Eliyahu restored the two Einayim, the eyesight, to a Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak stared at Esav when he perhaps shouldn't have in his unbelievable Madrego. He loses his eyesight in turn, and comes Pinchas. And what do we know about Pinchas? Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar. How are we introduced to this chosh of a biblical personality? The first way we meet him up is what? Vayar. Sanhedrin, Banma, Pebezim, and Aleph, Mara, Ra, Maisa, Veniska, Aloha. He sees that which nobody else sees. He opens up his eyes and he sees what's going on, and he corrects the Koacha Ayin. Pinchas of the Eos Gematra, Ayin plus Ayin. Notice, there's only one person invisible. There's only one person who Lahavdil had a Harry Potter's invisible cloak. Don't ask me how I know that one. Harry Potter's invisible Lahavdil, who's the only one to make himself invisible in all of Tanakh? We all know the story. Perek Beis, say for Yeshua, comes along Rachav, who ultimately weds none other than Yeshua. And Rachav, the Pasuk says, that she took the two spies, Kalev and Pinchas, va titzpeno. And she hid him. Asks Rashi, asks the Radak, Alamakom. What do you mean she hit him? She hit them. We're talking about two spies. Should be the plural conjugation. No, they bring down a minister on Chum and Pinchas. She only had to hide one of them. You didn't have to hide Pinchas. Why? Because Pinchas was Eliyahu HaNavi and he's invisible. Interesting. What is invisibility? Nobody's eyes can see you. Yitzchak used his eyes in an improper fashion on his unbelievable Madrega of Tzidkus. He loses his eyesight. Pinchas Vayar Pinchas. He sees Ra Maisa. He sees something. Pinchas Eliyahu. He becomes Eliyahu HaNavi. Chapter 47 of Pirkei Lazar. Through this Maisa, Tanya Rizal, this is when he transformed into Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi is invisible. Pinchas opened up his eyes. And now Mina Kening Amida. Nobody's eyes can behold the Pinchas. And Eliyahu HaNavi is invisible. That's Pinchas 208 and Yitzchak 208. Yitzchak writes the Tikkuni Zohar Chodesh in Tikkun Chavav. It's also in the Hashmatas Zohar. Yitzchak is Osios Ketzchai. He's not living in this world. Yitzchak, of course, he says the fewest words out of any of the Avos in the pages of the Torah. He's not living at the age of 37, according to most opinions in Chazal. He gave over himself as a korban on the Mizbeach. It's as if he figuratively killed himself. He's not living. He says very few words. He's Ketzchai. He's living in the Zmana Ketz. And who's going to bring us to the Zmana Ketz? Eliyahu HaNavi, Malachi, Paragimel, Pasach HaGimel, Hinei Nefesh, Lechuchem, Eliyahu HaNavi. Writes the Ramami Pano in his Maimer HaNefesh and Asur HaMoris, it's brought down Panini HaRamah. The Ramami Pano writes, Vayikach Es HaAyel, Vayakedus Yitzchak. Avram Avinu took Es HaAyel, HaAyel is Hey Aleph Yud Lamed, Hey Aleph Lud Yamed. What does that spell? Eliyah, Hinei Anochi Shalech Lechem, Es Eliyah HaNavi. Akedas Yitzchak. Yitzchak killed himself and he already started the transformation into Eliyahu Hanavi. Yitzchak is the first Jew who got a bris milah on day number 8, and who was the Malach HaBris? Eliyahu Hanavi, correct? Yitzchak gave us Tfilas Mincha, and what was the prayer that Eliyahu Hanavi got answered? We know the Gemara Brachos, the bottom of 6b, Eliyahu Hanavi lo nene ela b'tfilas HaMincha. Yitzchak is the first Jewish boy to get a bris on day 8. Eliyahu Hanavi, his reincarnate, is the Malach HaBris. Yitzchak is Tfilas Mincha, and Eliyahu was answered with Tfilas Mincha. Yitzchak is the first Ben to the first Av of Rome. And the tafket of Eliyahu Navi is what? To be Meshiv Lev Avos Abonim Lev Banim Olavaisa. To unite, reunite, reconnect the Avos and the Banim. So who was Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, fascinatingly enough, there in chapter 67 of the Arizal Shar Gagulim, as well as in the Likutei Torah, as well as in the Likutei Shas of the Arizal Brachas Tabanim Samach Aleph Amid Beis, it's also brought down by the Magala Mukas and Parshas Vayechi and others. If you don't believe me, check out. I'm making it all up, by the way. Rabbi Akiva was a Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, Osios, Akiva. Akiva and Yaakov, they share the same letters. And we know Yaakov Avinu is Akeres of Isis, Ikav Isis, of course, Rachel Imenu. And Rabbi Akiva's number one wife was, of course, Rachel. He married another woman, Avodah Zarah 28, Ashes Turnus Rufus. His first wife, Rachel, and Yaakov's first main wife was Rachel. Yaakov, Akiva, they share the same letters. What was Yaakov Avinu's deficiency on his unbelievable Madrega Tzikis? What was the one thing Yaakov Avinu was missing? You know what he was missing? You look in the second chapter of Yossi ben Chalafta's Seder Olam Rabbah, we find he was missing 22 years. Not of Kibbut Aveim. The Nusach there is, Shaloshim Ish Aviv Chopeshon. He was missing 22 years of serving. So the Haskola Satik in the beginning was he lost Yosef, who was absent from him, from serving him. He was the quintessential Meshamesh. He lost him for the duration of 22 years. And who was the Tikkun? Yaakov was Nisgalgo, reincarnated as Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, Yaakov, the same letters. They both married wives named Rachel. Yaakov Avinu was missing 22 years of serving his father Yitzchak. And interestingly enough, we have a Gemara Maseches Chagiga, the bottom of 12a, that Rabbi Akiva was Meshamish, his Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzu, Gamzu L'Taiva, also Gentinus. Rabbi Akiva was Koma Davar Rachmana L'Tov Avid, Gemara Brachas. Rabbi Akiva is the Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu, and he served him for exactly 22 years. Remember that old Honda commercial? Not the, you know, Lahavdil, the old famous Honda commercial when I used to see TV, you know, when I was like 3 years old. Now, and I was still watching TV. Remember, my favorite Honda commercial was the car that sells itself. I Lahavdil Afedos, Dibri Emerson, the car man, the Gemara Nedarim, the Torah sells itself. But then there was a commercial, I didn't see it on TV, trust me, but I did get sent it by an email, a Honda commercial that they put out, I think it was about 2 years ago, probably the best commercial I've ever seen in my life. They put in over $1 million Honda. They wasted all the money. You see, had they just waited, Toyota would have destroyed itself. They wouldn't even need all the advertising. They would have just lost the competition. Oh, brake problem here and an accelerator over here, right? Honda should have waited. They spent all the money for nothing. But they put together a Rube Goldberg device and they took apart a number of Honda Accords and they had all the parts. Nobody spoke in the entire commercial. You just follow through with the commercial from beginning to end. It was a massive Rube Goldberg device. They took apart the windshield wipers and the tires and all the screws and all the nuts and the bolts. And this rolled onto the floor and it hit the tire, which rolled and hit the wipers, which hit this and this hit that and this hit that. It was an unbelievable thing. And you just watch it for over 60 seconds. And finally, at the end, the last step is that something hits a stage, and a little miniature stage, and it tilts, and Honda Accord comes, ever so gently, a finished Honda Accord, comes to a stop, and then there's a voiceover, a famous celebrity, and the voiceover is, isn't it great when everything just works? That's the Torah. It's great because everything just fits. So here we have Yitzhak Avinu, Gematria 28, Pinchas 208, and he becomes Eliyahu Navi. Pinchas Eliyahu is Ayin plus Ayin, restoring the eyesight of Yitzhak Avinu. Now remember, the Medrash Shochetov and Mishlei Parshatess, who took up Rabbi Akiva's body? Well, Yitzhak Avinu had a taina, so to speak, on Yaakov, because Yaakov was away for a duration of 22 years. He was missing 22 years of Shemesh. But when Rabbi Akiva died, Rabbi Akiva was the Gilgal, who was Meshamish his Rebbe Nachum Ish Gamzu for precisely 22 years. He brought it full circle. He brought about the full rectification of that earlier deficiency, that earlier pagam. He serves his Rebbe for 22 years. Comes Eliyahu Navi to bring up the body. Who was Eliyahu? Pinchas Eliyahu. Pinchas was Yitzchak. Comes along Yitzchak in the form of Eliyahu Navi, and he takes up Rabbi Akiva, who was the Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu, and now he's ready to take him up to Shemayim himself. In addition, the Seder Doris mentions, as does, quotes the Arizal, as does the Ramami Pano and the Galamukos, that there's another opinion that says there was a nitzitz, there was a spark of Zimri in Rabbi Akiva. Zimri ben Salo, the famous Maisa, the notorious Maisa, the perversity, the corruption of Zimri and Cosby in the end of Parshas Bullock. According to one opinion, the Arizal says that there was a need to spark of Zimri and Rabbi Akiva. That's why Akiva ben Yosef is gematria with the three words of Akiva ben Yosef is gematria Zimri ben Salu. And 24,000 people from Shevet Shimon died in the plague at the end of Balak. And Rabbi Akiva, Yavama 62b, lost 24,000 Talmidim as a rectification for those 24,000 that were lost. Who killed Zimri? Pinchas. Pinchas Uliyonavi. So now, Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim bring about the full rectification. Pinchas, who killed Zimri, comes now to pick up the body of Rabbi Akiva, which contains the spark of Zimri ben Salu, to say, I now forgive you. I'm ready to bring you back up the Shemayah. We're almost done. This is Rabbi Akiva, the Gilgal, the reincarnate of Yaakov Avinu. A person needs a Rebbe. A person needs a Rav Shemush, Tamir Chachamim. The Gemara says, a Makkos, top of Daf Yud, Amud Aleph. We infer from a pasuk that instructs us, V'chai, when a person goes to an Ir Miklat, to a city of refuge, V'chai, Zok, the Gemara, the Halakha Gemara says, Avrele Midah Dehavrele Chayusa. You have to make sure that the person who killed accidentally, who killed the Shogi, can have life, can be sustained in the Ir Miklat, in the city of refuge. And the Gemara says, if we are Megal, if we send him into exile, we have to send together his Rebbe. Writes the Ritfo, the Archaner, and others, we don't just send a Rebbe. We'll send an entire yeshiva. If he learns much better in the yeshiva, we'll send the whole yeshiva. And if he has many different beam, he can pick and choose. We'll send his Rebbe Muvuk. His Rebbe Muvuk has to go. Why? Because that is V'chai. Because life is. You have a Rebbe, you have a Rav, and this is your connection to Shemayim. This is your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who's the one who taught us that a Talmud Chacham is the connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Who's the only one in all the 2711 folio pages of Shas who actually cut himself because he lost his Rebbe? And as Rechaim Shulovitz and the son of the Alter Mikelm explained, when you lose your Rebbe, you lose your Rav, you lost your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Rabbi Akiva. Any coincidence that the same Rabbi Akiva, Psachim 49b, who started off his life that he wants nothing more than to bite a Talmud Chacham, is not only the one who becomes the greatest Talmud Chacham in his generation, but is the one who tells us a Gemara, a Brisa, appearing four times in Shas. The first time, of course, is Pesachim, Chavbeis, and Beis, Bavakam, and Malaf, and Malaf, and Malaf, we have four times in Shas, that Shimon Amsuni, Ikadami, Samsi, Nechemi, Amsuni, darshaned every S in the Torah. And when he got to Esher Shemukah Chatira, the Pesach in Parashas Yaschon, Parag Vav, similar Pesach in Parashas Ekev, Pesach Yud, Esher Shemukah Chatira, he was Pirish. And as Tamidim said, why are you Pirish? Kishim, Shibati, Schal, Ladrisha, Kakibati, Schal, Abrisha, Acheb, Rabbi Akiva Vidarosh, one place it's Rabbi Akiva Valime, Esther Shemokah Khatila Rabbis Tamira Kacham. So many Sfarim deal with the only one who could introduce. Here you have Shimon HaMsuni, Nechem HaMsuni, who dedicated his entire life to delving in and trying to understand and to contemplate what is every S teaching us on the page of the Torah. He gets up to this one, the Marsha and others explain what bothered him about this one, and he can't figure out what it is. Why? Because who's going to have the brazenness, the audacity, to say from a pasuk that's talking about fearing Hashem, as Hashem HaKachatira, this is L'Rabbas Tamidacham, this is including a Tamachach, who's the chutzpah, the audacity, so bold and brazen to say such a thing? It's only Rabbi Akiva, Shabbat Rabbi Akiva, why Rabbi Akiva? Because he's the one who saw what a Tamachachim is all about. He's the one who understood that Talmud Chacham is the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fearing the Talmud Chacham is fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Zomazach. It's one and one, the same thing. He's the only one because he's the one who caught himself when he lost his Rebbe because his Rebbe was the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishim Torah Kavod. He's the one who gave over to his Talmud Hashim Echai Gedul Hashim Usha Shator Yosef Muda. Isn't he the one? You can understand why he lost his 24,000 Talmidim. What does the Gemara say in Yavama South Bay? Shalom Nogu Kavod Zolazer. If your Rebbe taught you about the Chashivas of the Talmud Chacham and you didn't give proper but in respect to your fellow Tamina Chachamim, you can understand that there's going to be a major tviya because your Rebbe didn't just give us the famous Sifron Kadoshim, Esher Shemukah Chatira. He didn't just give us Hatala Chakamocha, Zaklal Golub Torah. Not just Hatala Chakamocha, he told us Esher Shemukah Chatira, Rabbis Tamina Chachamim. Because a Tamachachim, fearing a Tamachachim, is like fearing a Kaddish Baruch Hu himself, Kabiyah. He's the one to do that. He's the one to equate the fear of a Tamachachim with the fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And now we'll conclude with an unbelievable Rabbeinu Bachai. Bein Machai begins in Parshas Vayeshev. It talks about it in three separate places. We know we had Hasurah HaGimachas. The Zohar Chadosh also at the end of Megillas Eicha talks about this idea. We had 10 martyrs, Arzei Halavanon, Eila Eskara, Yom Kippur, Tishma, respectively. We had 10 martyrs. Rabbi Akiva, of course, was counted amongst them. We lost 10 of the greatest sages in our history because of the 10 people that were involved in Chet Mechiras Yosef. And selling Yosef and Tzadik. Asks Rabbeinu Machai, where'd you have 10 people? We only had 9. We can count. Binyamin wasn't there. Yosef, of course, isn't included. So, and Reuben wasn't there. Reuben came back by Yetzalem. So we had 12 minus 3. That's only 9. Why do we have Asura? Why do we have 10 martyrs? So Rabbeinu Chai answers, One answer is we count Yaakov Avinu because he sent Yosef into a precarious, into a dangerous situation. He knew that there was hatred, animosity, he shouldn't have sent him. One answer is Yosef. He was Moti Dibarol. He was the originator. He was the instigator. He stoned the whole process. One answer is Reuben. Maybe Reuben could have stopped the different answers. But then Reuben Machai says, you know what the real answer is? And Rosh Hashanah has an unbelievable remez in Yitzutei Shams from the last Mimer in the Sefer Likutei Shoshanim, also appearing in the end of the Shal Shachuvus Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer on Ebenezer, when he has the Kutum HaChumash, he's so blown away by this remez, he says, I have to put it into my Sefer. And it's an amazing remez, we don't have time to go into it, but the upshot is that we had 10 people involved. Who was the 10th person involved? The Pirkei Lozer says that they were Metzari for Kodesh Baruch Hu the Shechina. Why couldn't Hashem tell Yaakov that Yosef was still alive, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved, he was the 10th being, so to speak, that was Mitzdarif to the Cherem. They had a Cherem, and Hashem said, I'm going to withhold the Shechina, and I'm going to withhold my divine presence, no more Ruach HaKodesh for Yaakov Avinu. I'm not going to tell Yaakov Avinu where Yosef is for 22 years. Hashem, they were Mitzdarif for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the basement. So let me ask you a question. Who is the one of the 10 martyrs that correspond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We only had 9. We're not counting Yosef, we're not counting Binyamin, and we're not counting Reuven. That's 12 minus 3, that's 9. So who's the 10th HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yeah, but who can correspond to Hashem? Right, Rishim Shonash Napoleon, you right, Sabin Machai, you know who can correspond? The Rebbe Akiva, who's the only Tan who had the audacity to say, Esh Shema Kachatil, Rosh Tavichim, to equate the Tamachuchim and Hashem. The only one to cut himself, because if I lost my Rebbe, I lost my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because my Rebbe is the link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the one, by the way, the only person in all Tanakh who was called in Aloka, was called God, Megillah 18a, Yaakov Avinu was called in Aloka. The Maral explains in Gorari Pash Vayishlach and Eschadusha Goddess and Chulin Sane Alpha Medveis that Yaakov Avinu was Kulo Nivdol Menachaymer. He was a Kaddish and he was a Nivdol. He was separate from this world. He was a God. Veniskav Hashem Levado, Vayivoser Yaakov Levado. Levado, Levado, the Yaakov says. Of Goldbech Zatzal is a beautiful shtickle, a super smarachas on Sukkis by design of Shpiz and Yaakov Avinu. He was Bevachinus Eloka. He was a God and Eloka in the Tachtainim explains to Marachas. He was separate completely from the Olam HaGashmi, from the physical, mundane world. His Gilgal was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was La'ilo La'ilo. Rabbi Akiva was the one who cried out, Avi, Avi, Rachav Yisrael. Not only am I losing my connection to you, Rabbi Lazar, I'm losing simultaneously my connection to Avinu Shir Shemayim. Avinu Shemayim, Mimatar Eschem. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says at the end of Yuma, Avinu Shir Shemayim, he is my Av. Avi, Avi, 26 Shem Avaya. He's the one who equates it to Machachim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who corresponds. He himself is a Gilgal, a reincarnate of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was called in Aloko. The Bechir Shabbos and his reincarnate Yaakov, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. Rabbi Akiva is the one to correspond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to take the place of God, so to speak. So what does he do? He dies with what? Shema Yisrael Shemakinah Shemachar on his lips. That's the story of Rabbi Akiva in a nutshell. And we have the Gemara Nasar Yosin, the end of Maseches Kedushin. Mishemes Rabbi Akiva, no lad Rabbi. And many Sfarim understand that. Rizal understands this is an Indian of Gilgal. When Rabbi Akiva died, Rebbe took over. And what was he called? Rebbe was called Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Writes the Megal HaMukos. Writes, many Sfarim bring this down. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Nasi is Nun, Sin, Yud, Aleph, Nishmaso, Shal Yaakov Avinu. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Yaakov Avinu was the Amun HaTorah, the pillar of Torah. And who's the one who codified, who wrote down the canonization of all the Mishnaic writings? It was Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Nasi, Nishmaso, Shal Yaakov Avinu. Misha Meis Rebbe, Nolad Rebbe. Misha Meis Rebbe Akiva, Nolad Rebbe. He was the reincarnate of Rebbe Akiva. Makes sense. It's all the same thing. Because Rebbe Akiva was a reincarnate of Yaakov. Rebbe Akiva dies. Who takes over? Rebbe Yonasi takes over. Yaakov Avinu is the Amun HaTorah. Rebbe Akiva is the Av of Torah Shebaal Peh. And Rebbe is the one who takes all of Torah Shebaal Peh and puts it into writing. It's Mamash the Handa Kord, multiplied exponentially. It all fits. That's the Geshmak out of Torah. It all fits. It all makes sense. And the Mela, we're almost done. We're still missing the first 40 years of Rabbi Akiva's lifetime. Rabbi Akiva only started to learn at the age of 40. So who was Masaki and who rectified the first 40 years of Rabbi Akiva's lifetime? Writes the Sefer Or HaGonos, published by Machon Ramchal. In Paragimel, chapter 3, they bring from Rabbi Yukosio Gordon, a Talmud Mubak of Ramchal. And it's also bought in the Sefer Rechav Yisrael, published by Machon Ramchal. Page 332, I think. They bring down the same idea. What is that idea? The idea is that Rabbi Akiva was Nifter at the age of 120. He learned for 80 years and he was the greatest Tana ever. But he was missing out on the first 40 years of his life. But the Ramchal or Moshe Chaim Lutzato died in his 40th year. He was born in 1707 and he died in 1747. He lived 39 years, 7 months, 16 days. He died in the city of Akko in a plague, 1747. Him and his only son, so writes the Sefer Agonis, he was a nitzitz, a spark of Rabbi Akiva. Any coincidence? Rabbi Akiva, of course, is buried in Tveria. Rabbi Akiva died in the beginning of the hundreds with the other Tanam, Asurah, Gemalchus. The Ramchal died in 1747. Nobody knows exactly how, but notice who is buried right alongside Rabbi Akiva. The Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Tzad, was buried right next to Rabbi Akiva. Fascinating. How in the world did that happen? I have no clue. But what do we know? We know based on our Hagonis that who rectified the first 40 missing years of Torah of Rabbi Akiva? There was a great sage, Moshe Chaim Lutzata. Interesting as well, because the Maloha Rome writes that Rabbi Akiva also had a spark of the nitzitz of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know that Yaakovino Lomeis, Tainas Haman Beis, Moshe Chaim, Bechina of Moshe, and Bechina of the one who was Chaim, Yaakovino Chai Lomeis. Moshe Chaim Lutzata died in his 40th year, perhaps as a rectification. Suggests the Or HaGonos, a rectification of the first 40 years of Torah that Rabbi Akiva was missing. Brings it full circle. Because Torah always works. Because Sfarim are fantastic. And we have to love them, and we have to live them, and we have to cherish them. And we have to kiss them, we have to close them ever so gently, and we have to dust them off. And we have to write our names in it, and we have to treat them with respect. We have to watch the way that we hold the Sfarim. There was one Rosh Hashiva, he was always mocked when the younger lights, the Avreichim, those in Kol, they would carry their talis and tefillin on the way back from shul. They would carry it to the hamta like a football. Hey, running out of shul, oh, wherever I could carry it. Going shopping, I got to pick up challis and milk at the same time. And they're juggling 13 shopping bags together with that. It's talis and tefillin. How do you carry a talis and tefillin? How do you carry a sefer? How do you open up the sefer? How do you close the sefer? As a shaykh, every time you finish learning, how do you not kiss the sefer? Do you kiss the siddur, the tehillim, every time you finish it? So how do you not kiss the gemara? How do you not kiss the sfarim? If you start kissing CDs, we're going to go ahead and call certain institutions for you. So you're not going to kiss the CDs, but the sfarim, you're going to treat them with respect. We're going to clean them off. We're going to love them. We're going to live them. We're going to learn from them. We're going to treat them with chashivas, but we have to always keep in mind that much greater than the sfarim themselves are the living sefer Torah. More important than it is to get the sfarim and to learn from the sfarim, we have to find a Rebbe, we have to find a Rav, and we have to make this Rebbe this Rav. We have to go ahead. And we have to find a Rebbe, we have to find a Rav, we have to find a Mora. We have to find someone who is going to be Mora Derech, someone who is going to guide us, someone who could teach us what Shemesh Tamil Chamim is all about, someone who could teach us how to maximize our own enormous and respective potentials, so that the Mitzvah, we can finish all the Sfarim that we have. We can go to YU Sfarim sales and keep buying, because at the end of the day, one of the greatest of the Rishon, Rav Yitzhak Khan Panton, writes in the Sefer Darkei Gemara, Ein Chachmasa Shal Adam Magasa Shesvarv Magiyim. Marbe Sfarim, Marbe Chochma. The more wisdom, the more Sfarim you have, the more Chochma. And you know what? Even if you don't read them all, if you have them in the house, it's a different surah of the house. You walk into a house, and as well as, I'm not talking about those rich people that color coordinate all the Sfarim. I got this mahogany bookshelf, and I put the red Sfarim with the orange Sfarim, and this, I'm going to buy the leather edition because it matches this, it matches this. None of that Nourish guy. None of that Nourish guy. What are we going to do? We're going to buy Sfarim that we're going to use. And how many times do we walk into a store, and we handle with the store owner and say, what? I'm going to buy this iPod, I'm going to buy this iTouch, or whatever the newest things, the iPads, and they want this amount of money, and I'm going to bargain, I'm going to do this. And then when we're in Eretz Yisrael, we go to the Sfarim stores, Meir Shon Gula, and the Machai, 30 shekel for the safer. You want me to pay 30 shekel for the safer? What are you kidding? I already cashed one. I got to spend this much money on ice cream, and this much money on pizza, and this much money on electronics, and this much money taking my friends out to dinner tonight. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you go to the Sfarim store, I'm like, how could I spend so much money on a safer? So, isn't this what life is about? Don't we want to spend money? How many Sfarim tell us that if you open up a Sefer and you find one Geschmack of art, one Vart in the whole Sefer, and we see it from a famous story with the Vilna Gaon, we don't have time to go into it, if you open up a Sefer and you find one Geschmack of art, it's Kedai the entire Sefer for that one Vart. You have a Sefer that you want to read, that you want to love, kiss it, hold it, love it, live it, and breathe it. But keep in mind that it's still better to go ahead and follow the Talmid Chachamim, to learn from them, the living Sefer Torah, the ones who are greater than the Sefer Torah, the ones who interpret and are machanish in the Sefer Torah, to learn the lesson of Rebbe Akiva, of Rebbe, of the Ramchal, to put it all together and recognize we have to be mashamish Talmid Chachamim, get ourselves Rebbe and grow forever in Ruchnius. Let's enjoy the YU Sfarim sale, and let's go ahead and buy as many Sfarim as we can, but save a couple for me, please. Have a wonderful night. Thanks so much for coming.